beautiful people. Welcome to the 41st episode of Off Color Cast. I don't know how we made it this far either. This is a segmented podcast that talks about the serious, the aggressive, and the awesome of EDH or Commander. So, my name's Chris. Imagine that. I'm a butt. I got some guest hosts with us this week. Let's talk to them here. We've got Cassidy, a.k.a. Cassidy Silver. Why don't you say hello to everybody here?
Yo, everyone. This is Cassidy, a.k.a. Cassidy Silver. A.K.A. at right or wrong. Guest hosting once again for the 41st time. This is actually a record because I've been on the show as a guest host more often than an actual host. You can check out my articles at tcgplayer.com in the magic section. And that's about it.
All right, and then our other guest host, we all live for bitches and blunts. He lives for weed and money. This is Calvin Russell.
Hey, everybody. This is Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Red Zone around the internet. And at this moment, I'm currently going to YouTube looking up a music video so I can show it to my friends here. Also, in 11 episodes, you could actually listen to us for 52 weeks out of an entire year.
Yeah, I don't know if we want to write that check right now. Yeah. I don't know if that's when we're going to end up cashing.
Yeah, well, that'll definitely end up with some negative funds.
Yeah.
NSF, non-sufficient funds.
I mean, unless, like, episode 50 and onward is just Calvin in a closet somewhere saying, welcome to Off Color Cast, this is the Calvin show now. Because the rest of us are either dead or in jail.
It would just be annoying.
I'll be dead and in jail. I'm cool like that.
You'll be in dead jail.
I'm in dead jail. Purgatory, bitch.
Alright, reading defeated. Alright, kids, it's another terrible episode where we only do one thing. Deal with it. We had gotten a card sent in from one of our bros, and we can't really read it, but it got us into the spirit of maybe making some cards that we think would either supplement EDH or just fill a void in our own little hearts that seem to be lacking. So, I guess I'll start out with one of mine, because I have trouble making things. Honestly, the thing I wanted most was something to deal with Hexproof, and they sort of took care of that with the glaring spotlight. But my version did not take out everything, because I think just removing it across the board seems a little heavy-handed, but, you know, what are you going to do? The same with the glaring spotlight. My favorite things in Magic are, well, in general, are answers to answers, like to where you're getting down to, like, that third level where... You know, you have the original threat. And so they're like, alright, let's use something to take care of this threat. And then, you know, the third level where they're like, alright, so let's find something to counter the answer. That's my favorite kind of thing. So, I've always looked at Graveyard Hate, for the most part, as just like a sledgehammer. And it's kind of boring, like, you know, like Tormod's Crypt or a freaking Bajuga Bog. I prefer the ones that target, so I was wondering if I was thinking of finding a way to, you know, protect the graveyard from the asinine sweepers that are out there. Though, I'm not sure the graveyard decks really need much more help than they already have, but I was thinking of probably something colorless, or maybe white. I guess to take care of a sweeper, you'd want to bounce your graveyard and then have it return at end of turn or something after the sweeper has gone through. That seems to be the sweetest way to deal with a sweeper there. So maybe make it like a 2-mana artifact, and then maybe just a tap as a payment? I'm not sure. Or maybe I'll throw it out to you guys to see what you would do to it.
Actually, the card I created a little bit earlier today kind of addresses that issue a little bit. But for the most part, I agree Tormod's Crypt is kind of boring and, very heavy-handed. Relic of Progenitus is even more so, but I guess that requires some, like, personal sacrifice. I don't know if I would make it colorless, though, because, like, that could be a problem. I'd probably make it like maybe white and green.
Ooh, what are you doing there?
What?
White and green.
Well, because Like, you, it goes in the Carador, so that's maybe not the best idea. But I mean, I just meant in general, like, white and green putting together would kind of, like, make it tougher to go in good decks.
Because
green and white put together is pretty much always lame. So, that was just my thought. Like, yeah, just throw it, give it to the dumb color, or make it red even. That'd be pretty funny. Like, we can't use this at all. Yay.
Yeah, and red would be pretty funny. Looking for targeted removal was something that we wanted to play around with. I always thought about a spell, or maybe, well, I guess a spell would be pretty bad, but to give, like, either one card or your entire graveyard Shroud to end a turn. Well, I guess it'd be Hexproof now, which would be kind of asinine. But we could still say it would give Shroud instead.
Well, doesn't that one card do that? Bronze Seal or something?
Probably. It's been a while.
So, yeah, that was the one that...
cards in graveyard can't be the target of spells or abilities. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they even reprinted it. Sweet.
Yeah, it's an M13.
Yeah. I've read it before, and I'm like, this card is sweet, and then it just runs right out of my head.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of cool when enchantments are cantrips, too.
But, I mean, like, that doesn't help you if you're a graveyard deck.
Yeah, no. It really doesn't.
I'm talking more about just, like, giving it Shroud for a turn. That way a targeted graveyard spell doesn't... But, like, a just... Jesters, whatever, or something.
Or like even a scavenging ooze?
Yeah, even a scavenging ooze. Of course, a one-turn answer for a scavenging ooze isn't going to do you too much, but maybe somebody else will kill it.
Yeah, but yeah, the Wither Wretch and scavenging ooze are probably a bad example, but that's just, like the best ones.
You know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, for sure.
Probably the one that bounces would be more interesting, just because it'd be weird. Like, especially if I don't know, any of the elemental, well, whatever, the incarnations, that's the name I was looking for. And then it's like, oh, whoops, there went my flying, if you got, like, Wonder in there, or, you know, there went my something more useful if you've got one of the green ones in there. That would kind of be nifty if maybe you could even target other people's graveyards with it to be a complete dick.
Yeah, like, especially Snapcaster bullshit.
It's like, whoops, it's gone. What are you going to do?
It should be like a cast instant with a cantrip on it, so it would be terrible.
Well, I mean, we want to put cantrips on everything.
Well, yeah, but I mean specifically that card, giving a single card Shroud in a graveyard. Yeah, you need to make that much sweeter, or else you're casting that for free.
I think like a spell like that, you might just make like blue black hybrid, and then like one blue black hybrid.
Right. Exactly. It's still a cantrip though.
Yeah, we still want to cantrip. Maybe we'll have it slow trip. That's something we want to bring back.
I fucking hate slow trip so bad. I hate it. God.
The concept for what I've gotten together about, like, the exiled cards from the graveyard thing is, like, I've typed up, like, a card here, like, green and white. It's an instant. Exile all cards in target graveyard. Return all cards exiled this way to their owner's graveyard at the end of the phase. That way, in case someone's like trying to like just exile your graveyard, you can still have the option to remove it now, but then you still have the option to use it during your turn, depending on when you activate this card.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good in Carador.
Because like, you know, like say for instance, I'm like trying to use cards in my graveyard for some type of like a dredge or mill or something like that. If I blinked it out at the end of the turn and it didn't come back until the end of the turn, then I would basically skip all of that I would be able to do for that turn. But if it came back at the end of the phase, like, if it's my main phase, I could, and someone tried to exile my graveyard, I could be like, upcast this, exile my own graveyard, and then return it at the end of that main phase, go into combat phase, and then second main phase, and then I have my graveyard back already, so I have the option to kind of do what I wanted to do.
Yeah, end of phase would be pretty neat.
Hmm?
I said that'd be pretty neat. I think we should probably make a cantrip too then.
Yeah, I just tagged a draw card at the end of it because I figured for 2 mana is basically blink your graveyard, all your stuff goes back to your graveyard, and then you get to basically draw a card. So it's kind of like you cycled it and blinked your graveyard in and out for like a quick turn. Well, not a turn, but for a phase. And with it being an instant, your opponent wouldn't be able to like see it coming. So it's not like they're going to be like I played my Relic of Progenitus, and I wait for you to activate your artifact to try to blink your graveyard, and then I'm going to use my relic and exile anyway. You know?
Yeah, it's pretty boss. I think Bujuka Bog has always felt like the most egregious one to me. It's like, lol, I just played a land. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, and it's like, it's not even like a bad land. You know, it's just, yeah, it's a swamp then. That's cool. God, thank God it's not an actual swamp that you could like search out for.
I've always kind of thought it was.
I mean, there's enough other ways to search for it. So.
Yeah.
But Primeval Titan isn't one of them.
Not anymore.
Alright, so that was basically my first kind of card. Calvin, why don't you go with one of yours, or...
Well, one of the cards that I've actually kind of been playing around with myself is I personally, like squirrels. And I kind of like the idea of actually having, like, a cycle of squirrels that gather up, like, that, like, cause, like, blah, 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 blah. Let me clear this thought in my head.
Yeah, why don't you just clear it completely out?
Yeah, you shut up. my thing is, like, I kind of like the idea of having squirrels. And since squirrels, like, gather, like, you know, nuts and stuff like that for the winter, I've always kind of liked the idea of having something like acorn counters. And having squirrels that get more abilities depending on the amount of acorn counters that they've collected.
Do you tap them to, like, gather a certain amount of acorns or something?
Well, I kind of like the idea of having, like, the squirrel that, like, goes out and ventures out, like, because I would want it to be a squirrel that attacks. And it's, like, when this...
I would just like to go on record, like, and say that I do not approve of this at all.
Hey, I don't care what you say. But in the same token, one of the things that I've came up with before, like, and if people kind of like looked around online, I've posted up a couple copies of a card similar to it that I call a nut gatherer, but it didn't use like acorn counters. It was a squirrel that had this ability where if it dealt combat damage to a player, I could gain control of a target based land that player had. And it was like a 1/1 for 2 or something like that. I think might have been for 3. I don't remember.
I had a name for that card. I think it was Nut Gobbler.
Yeah, quiet you.
It would be pretty cool to have like a red green squirrel theme
Nut
deck.
Gobbler. You know?
Like some sort of like giant wise squirrel. You know, green red.
Because one of the things I was thinking for would be like a cycle of like gatherers of what is like. Squirrels to just go out and gather various things. Maybe if they just like gather like a specific basic land, like if it dealt damage, it could collect a forest or a mountain or something.
It could correspond with its color.
Hmm?
It could correspond with its color then.
Yeah. It's still something that I was just kind of playing around with like an idea. Cause I like the idea of having squirrels that like go out into the world, and the whole point of them going out is that when they succeed in doing what they're doing there, and it produces more mana for you.
I'm going to have to run... I think we need to run this by Travis Hall to see if this is a good squirrel idea or a bad squirrel idea. He's pretty much the end-all, be-all of squirrels.
Travis, let's see here. Any other suggestions you got there for, like, a gathering of squirrels, guys, or Chris? Because I know Chris is just going to call them gatherers of nuts.
I mean, did we even give you one suggestion? How can you ask us for more?
It seems pretty cool. I've always liked Drain Tremor. It's always been one of my favorite cards. So yeah, any deck that makes more squirrel technology is pretty awesome. I'm pretty sure there's also squirrel generator cards already do. You know, they already kind of have like a lord kind of thing going on. You know, +1/+1 or whatever. So yeah, maybe like a guy that like when he gathers enough nuts, he gives all squirrels trample. You know what I mean? Like. Guy, there's definitely got to be a red one that like he trades a nut counter for like a damage to a creature, some sort of like Chippendale's red baron thing.
He's a nut thrower.
Yeah. Did you just turn that red squirrel into Jit?
He big nut counters and pings people with him.
I don't know about Jit squirrels.
Ninja squirrels. That's what the world needs.
Give the squirrels ninjutsu.
Yeah.
That way you could attack with anything and then like, oh look, there was a, that's not a human, it was a squirrel hiding inside a human costume.
This is terrible.
You'd totally be able to make a rug or a bug ninja deck then.
Alright, so we've got my graveyard shroud. We got Nutgobbler over here with his some sort of squirrel thing. And then, Cassidy, why don't you give us some sort of non-squirrel thing?
Alright, so I'm going to start off with actually the card I sent into Andy's last contest before he left Commander Cast.
Before this card you sent him, I made him leave Commander Cast.
Yeah, well, actually, I was disqualified, so you know how it goes. I don't really follow the rules, so they disqualified me, but that's why it's a perfect time to bring him up here. So, yeah, actually, Gudong was actually like, yeah, I disqualified you out of spite.
Damn it, Gudongs.
My deck was like 75 cents over like the price limit, but I was not agreeing with Gapping Magic price points because their like commons were like 35 cents. And it's like, well, I'm paying 35 cents for a Doomblade. Suck a dick. Anyways, my idea was to reinvent Ramirez D'Apietro, the black-blue pirate from Legends. And then I also reinvented Ramsey's Overdark. So I made another Ramsey's Overdark, but we can get to that later. But first off, Captain DePietro, the idea is he basically killed Sisse and stole the Weatherlight, and that's what the picture I made of. I basically photoshopped him onto Sisse's card. And so now he's riding high on the fucking Weatherlight, and he's a badass. And basically this is what he does. It's a lot of text, so this is going to be fun, guys. So it's Captain DePietro, that's his name. Just like Captain Sisse, that's her. And then she's, he is one colorless, blue-black, legendary creature, human pirate rogue. He is 2/2, and his border is gold, because they let you do that in that one, magic set creator, so I thought that would be fun. Now, his text. All assassins, pirates, rogues, and ninja cards cost one colorless less to cast for each of the types it has. Yeah. Assassins, pirates, rogues, and ninja creatures you control have island walk and flying, because they're fucking flying on the Weatherlight. At the beginning of
are
second
they skydiving?
Yeah. They're repelling. They're awesome. They're ninjas. Come on. You gotta wonder how the Silent Blade Oni gets around. You just gotta get out of his way, yo. Now, at the beginning of your second main phase, put a plunder counter on Captain DePietro for each creature you control that attacked this turn and was unblocked. And then remove all plunder counters from Captain DePietro at the end of your turn. So the plunder counters to me was the best part because they're the counter plunder. Now, you can remove those plunder counters, from Captain DePietro to search any player's library for a non-land permanent with a casting cost equal to X or less, where X is the number of plunder counters you remove, and then put that card into play under your control, and then that player shuffles their library. Now, any player may pay X colorless and sacrifice X permanent or any combination in between to counter the ability, so that's kind of like the Rishadin Pirates, you know, that kind of thing. And then the flavor text. There's a new captain of the Skyship Weatherlight, and he's playing for keeps. So that was my Captain DePietro. I mostly wanted to make a blue-black ninja pirate rogue ninja deck, and assassins, too. Just tie together all the greatest creature types in one dude, so you don't have to really worry about it anymore. It's kind of like the Kalia of blue-black, you know?
What was the font size on this card?
That's super small.
Extremely fucking small.
Yeah.
It's like, it would be like a little small before you even get to the plunder counter bullshit.
Yep, pretty
and
much.
Then it's like, well.
I'm fucking leaning over.
I was in the process of trying to type it out and like, I'm good. Like, I'm just keeping it as is. I'm just going to, never mind.
Oh, I have the card, so I can just send it.
You just send that one over to me, Cass.
Sure.
I thought the plunder counters were going to add mana, sort of like Rasputin Dreamweaver, and then you just threw a huge curveball at me there. I'm like, damn, plunder counters.
Yeah, and I just like the idea that you, like, steal shit from your deck. You hire stuff, you just go steal stuff from people, and then people can be like, pay a little bit of money to stop it. Just like I made that guy, and then they came out with the extortion, and I'm like, man, I had such a better idea.
The extort mirror is still the greatest thing in Limited. Oh yeah, I mean, it's gotta be online somewhere. I mean, I don't think I have anything to add to that. It's already the perfect card.
Yeah, I think so too.
And, I mean, Gatecrash even gave you more friggin' rogues to work with. Yeah. Like the rogue that can only be blocked by rogues. That's sort of like D&D where, like, thieves can't backstab other thieves.
Yeah, exactly. With improved evasion.
Yeah. I'll throw another one out here. The other thing that I've really been trying to mess with lately is making monocolor matter. And mostly because it never seems to feel that way in current standard or anything environments. So I wanted to make it somehow work in EDH. Because why not? But so I've been thinking of like a set of spells or something that like, if you you can cast them at sorcery speed. But if you pay the full mana, if you pay the full mana cost in color, then maybe it hangs around as an enchantment or something. Like, you know, one, and it basically be like color/1, color/1, color/1. So it'd still be the same amount of mana, but if you could pay all three color, then it'd be something worthwhile. You probably wouldn't want to do it in black because generating that much of black mana is not difficult.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I mean, the easiest way to have it do something like that is just to make it in white. And then just be like, have a white spell that gives some sort of pump, and then if you paid the full cost, it's just an anthem. But you'd want the anthem to probably give, like, first strike or lifelink or something to make it worth actually casting. Because anthems are, unless you're playing Aggress costs are usually not worth casting.
That actually sounds a lot better now that I've actually gotten a chance to sit down and hear you explain it than what I was reading from the email.
Yeah, but I think, like, you know, it's like a spell you can cast for, you know, three colorless if you really want to, but you're still going to have a white color identity. But then if you pay, like, three white for it, it does a lot more for you. And, like, I haven't really fleshed it out much more than that, but I just really want monocolor to be something that you want to do.
Yeah. And not even, like, box too, right? Like, Soaring can still be in a monocolor deck, but that's not like the spirit of it. Cause
it's not gonna help you do anything with this.
Okay.
But sure. I definitely think like something that is a normal spell that becomes a permanent if you cast with full color seems better than just getting a bonus. Like almost like it would feel too much like kicker if you just got a bonus if you paid the right colors.
You know what? That actually kind of reminds me of something they could have done if Mirrodin didn't lose to the Phyrexians. Like, it's kind of like almost like the opposite of Phyrexian life, right? Like, you could even have like an artifact creature that's one colorless slash one white, and if you made the white, it's a better creature. Like, you know, it could do something like that even.
That's pretty nifty.
Yeah,
basically, the only card that seems to be even anywhere near that is Beseech the Queen, which is actually worse if you can pay three black to cast it, because you might only have three lands.
Well, Flame Javelin's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. But then there's, like, those weird, like, Shadowmoor ones, where they want you to pay both colors and make it very insipidly easy to do so. And they're like, hey, we'll just give you both things. You can pay both colors, and of course you can always manage to.
Oh, like, you mean, like, the Deos and the Oversoul and those guys, or?
More like, I was just looking at one today. It was a crappy life gain spell, but it was, like, hybrid white, green, and X. And it was like, if you pay white, gain this much life. If you pay green, gain this much life. Do both if you paid both.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure.
So like, that cycle is just like
like Vigor Mortis, right?
Yeah, right.
The one green-black reanimator or whatever.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I just, I don't know. I've always been tooling around with something like that. It had originally, you know, back in the Great Designer Search days when I was like, hey, I wonder what sort of set I would make. And I had wanted to make, this was before I knew Phyrexia, and they didn't do it this way anyway, but I wanted to make every spell hybrid color/black. So that black would be really awesome.
Yeah, they basically did that with Phyrexia.
Yeah, with the free spells and stuff. But yeah, and then maybe further on in the cycle, there'd be like, you know, like no black cards or like, somehow they'd win. But for one set, I wanted every card to be hybrid black. And maybe, like, if you paid only black mana for it, it did better. But then that started to seem asinine after a while. But I like the colorless/color. And I think, like, I don't know, maybe you could do a burn spell. And, like, maybe if you paid all red, it did more damage or wasn't able to be countered or who knows.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a pretty cool design space, actually. I like that.
And because, it'll still be, it's easily castable if you're not able to do that. Even like a 3-color deck, you can still just cast it, but you won't be able to be awesome with it.
Right, unless you're lucky or have like a really expensive mana base or something.
Okay, I think I've gotten something here for you. Remember, the one I sent you for before with the, white blue enchantment thing?
Yeah, I forget what it said though. I wipe my ass with this card.
Cause when Christian first like mentioned this in email, in my mind, he mentioned it as a colors matters kind of card. And my mind took in a different direction cause it was like a card that had hybrid white, hybrid blue colors.
It was called Dawn Coverage.
Yeah. And if you paid, if you paid two or more white for it, it did one thing. And if you did two or more blue for it, it did another. And the casting cost was, 3. That way you could never really pay both, like, double white or double blue. You could only pay one or the other.
Yeah, I actually like that one a lot. I added that into the card that I, just sent you guys, earlier. I think that's a really cool mechanic.
But, like, with the way Christian's saying it, I've redone the one I did. Before it was, called Dawn Coverage. It was, 3 hybrids of blue-white. So it was a blue-white hybrid, blue-white hybrid, blue-white hybrid, and it was an enchantment. And if you paid 2 or more white for it, it became, all creatures you control, all white creatures you control gain +2/+2. And the second ability was if you paid 2 or more blue, it would, if you paid 2 or more blue mana, it became an aura with enchant creature and enchanted creature gains +1/+1 and unblock ability. So that way you could have two different options for it to kind of either go, you could give all your guys a +2/+2 pump and play it on a mono white deck. Or if you wanted to, you could kind of just use it as a evasion enchantment that pumped your guy and kind of gave him unblock ability as well. But if you played blue and white, it would have the option to go back and forth between both colors. So even if it was a mono white deck, you could be able to use it. But we're talking EDH, so you would still have to use it on a blue white deck anyway. So both options would still be available anyhow.
Yeah. So you could always have it in Xur.
Yeah. And, but with the way Christian's describing it, I've changed it around slightly where if it's a single white mana used to pay for Dawn Coverage, it becomes an aura where enchanted creature with enchanted creature and enchanted creature gains +1/+1 and unblock ability. And if 2 or more white are used to pay for Dawn Coverage, white creatures you control gain +2/+2. And it's still an enchantment. This way you kind of have a way to gauge how much mana you want to spend on it. Now your Soul Ring actually has a reason to be used because you could use it for 2 colorless and 1 white and give a creature unblock ability.
All right, so that was my other goofy idea here. Calvin, what do you got for us now?
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
Hey, I'm Lewis, and I'm fashionably late, like last time, and that's about it. I like my simplistic intros, so I think I'm gonna keep that.
Are you drawing for Big Willy yet?
So, Lewis, just to fill you in, I have a land here. It's a card that I've designed. It's called Ironbound Ablaze. It's a land. It's indestructible. At the beginning of your upkeep, you put a blaze counter on Ironbound Ablaze. And when Ironbound Ablaze has 3 or more blaze counters on it, sacrifice it. It has the ability where you can tap it to add mana of any color to your mana pool. And another one that says sacrifice a creature to remove a blaze counter from Ironbound Ablaze. Now, the reason why I kind of like the idea of this particular card is because I like the idea of a city that's burning down. And the creatures that are being sacrificed to kind of put the blaze out, as it were, or in my mind, like firemen trying to save a burning city.
But they're dying.
Yeah, they're failing horribly.
That's so cool, though. Have you ever seen Rescue Me,
man? Huh?
Have you ever seen Rescue Me? It's all about dying.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to watch shows with Dennis Leary in them. Let me get right on that.
I know. I know, I was so surprised that I actually liked it, because I fucking hate Dennis Leary with a passion. But yeah, it's a really fucking awesome show.
So would it be a five alarm fire? I mean, that's a sweet card with blaze counters, and then you're bringing this thing to us?
Hey, I kind of like the idea. Like I said, I like the idea of a land that would burn itself down.
What's that picture from? Or did you just steal it from another Magic card?
I stole it from somewhere random off the internet. I don't even remember.
Alright, so I do like cards that... This is definitely a bit rougher than... what's the one where you have to pay one or a Rupture Spire?
But yeah, but that's only once.
Yeah, but it doesn't like ruin your tempo like Rupture Spire does. So that's nifty.
It'd be cool in a deck like Savra.
Yeah, Savra could really use this shit.
Yeah, just a passive sack would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. It is like basically a kind of like the Viscera Seer type deal.
Or if you get in the right deck, you can pretty much use it like as a permanent like sack outlet.
So yeah, Ashnod's Ultra.
I've got a question then. I don't know how the rules go, but if this didn't have any burn counters on it, could I still just sack creatures willy nilly?
Nah, because I think to make it a legit card, removing a counter would have to be part of the cost.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's like a once a turn. It's like a once a turn effect.
Yeah.
Or if it has once a turn, twice if you can build it up.
Mm-hmm. So this one with doubling season though, you could definitely get two blaze counters then, right?
Yeah, but then it'd be more dangerous. You'd have to keep it down. This fire's out of control.
I'm like Kurt Russell in Backdraft. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'd play.
Like, you know, and I really liked it, and the main reason I figured I'd put, like, Indestructible on it, so this way it's not, like, one of those things where, like, someone can just, like, blow it up.
Yeah, because that'd be really shitty.
But since it makes, like, any mana of, like, any color, it pretty much would be, like, a nice deck, a nice card to go in pretty much, like, any deck that required that could use the sack outlet or could find a way to use excess to, like, add any mana of any color.
Yeah, I'd rather run that than, like, a shitty Vivid Land.
And since it, like, sacrifices itself after the third counter gets put on it, it's kind of nice because if you don't do anything, it's a land that can't be destroyed that you have access to for at least three turns before it goes away.
I kind of like it with Hex Parasite. That'd be pretty fun. Just keep...
keep pumping that Hex Parasite.
Yeah, just keep taking it away. And then, what was the other thing? Oh, it's pretty cool with, like, Jokel Hops and stuff like that, too, because it is indestructible, you know? You can... Even if it lasts a little bit, not as long as, you know, like a Dark Steel, whatever the fuck, the Citadel. I mean, it's still like, you can Armageddon and have this around for a little bit longer, you know?
It's too bad Armageddon doesn't say.
If it does any hand or any color, you can be able to use it for your commanders at all times. As long as they're like, you know, as long as you have the extra mana to use it afterwards. Like, you could like Armageddon, destroy all the lands, and if you had like a ring.
Cast Isamaru. So this card's sweet, but I can't think of anything else with it.
You know, if I'm going to make up rules, I might as well fuck the hell out of the game. So I put a whole bunch of weird-ass shit on this one. So I named him Wallace, not for any particular reason. sure, that's what they do at WotC. They just throw darts at letters until they have something. Basically, he's two-sided, kind of like a werewolf. And side one is Wallace, Planar Observer. He is black-white, 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 so 3 CMC. He is 2/3, a legendary creature, angel advisor. He has the green keyword disassociation, which is basically how these cards flips, and it's a lot like how Calvin was talking about Dawn coverage. if two or more black was spent to play this side of Wallace's mana cost, you flip them over. So this is the white side. His ability is cards in any player's exile zone also count as being in their graveyard. And whenever a card enters play from the exile zone, you gain 2 life, he has +2/+0, and double strike until end of turn. Now, side 2 of Wallace is disgruntled bureaucrat. This is kind of like the black side of him. He's still the same casting cost, black-white, black-white, black-white. He's 4/2, legendary creature, angel advisor as before, and then this disassociation ability is if you pay 2 or more white, then you flip them over. So basically with this, you can play them however you want. It doesn't really matter, like, what side he's on. you know, like when I had Garrick Relentless, I'd always flip him over in the sleeve and then leave him like that. So then I'd draw him and be like, what the fuck? Oh yeah, I got to flip the stupid card over. And then everyone knew, you know, saw me flipping cards over. So that sucks. So I kind of like the idea that it doesn't matter which side you pay it on. Like if you pay two white for him, basically, as part of his casting cost, he's going to be on the white side or the, you know, the other side I just mentioned. So his ability, whenever a card enters an opponent's exile zone, he gets +2/+0 and intimidate until end of turn. And then his other ability, when he leaves play, you may pay X mana and X life. If you do, exile up to X target permanents, and then remove X general text counters from Wallace. So just throw a whole bunch of fucking random ass abilities together. That's the kind of thing I want to see from like an Orzhov general. Something really cool, something out of the box. This guy's kind of got control and aggro together, and that's kind of how black-white is. You know, they don't really complement each other as colors very much. They kind of do the same thing competitively. So I kind of like the idea that the two colors compete so much that they're basically like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in one character, and that's what the disassociation thing is, you know, the disassociated identity disorder and all that. So this guy's just insane in the membrane.
So I have another dumb question.
Sure.
For Wallace's disgruntled side,
yeah.
Can you only pay as much X as you have general tax counters?
Nah. It could be a remove up too, I guess. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Sure. I like him. I'm kind of afraid that he might make graveyards too good on the white side. White side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where it's just like, it doesn't matter what you do to my graveyard, I can still use it.
Yeah, especially with like Yawgmoth's Will.
Yeah, if you guess Yawg.
So, like that card's kind of broken because of Yawgmoth's Will, but I mean, you'd fix it somehow.
Yeah.
You can't play Yawgmoth's Will in the same deck.
Yeah. That's what they used to do in the old Raw Deal card game, so. I'll
go with it. Yeah, I think it's nifty. I like a flip card that we don't have to worry about triggers, because werewolf triggers are terrible, especially in EDH.
Yeah, exactly.
Because your dude usually flips three times before he even makes it back to your turn.
Yeah. And it's not a May ability, so if it goes too far, you like, kind of have to be like, okay, hold on, how many did you cast? And then, oh, fuck. Why the hell do you play these fucking werewolf cards?
You can just talk to him.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to, like, it's something that's got to do with the actual topic in and of itself.
When's that stopped you before?
This is our show, dude.
Yeah. This ain't Big Willie's show. I know you guys are all going to become his right-hand men.
No, I'm just going to show you this.
Oh, okay.
Is this put him on the glass again? God damn it, Calvin.
I don't think I've ever seen this.
You know, Jump On It is the best Mix-a-Lot song, which he rampantly stole from Apache.
The best Mix-a-Lot song was Table Would Be Round.
The best Mix-a-Lot song has yet to be written.
I have nothing to say about this.
Yeah, me either.
So somebody else talk about Wallace here. William Wallace. Wallace. Actually, no. I imagine he looks like Wallace Shawn.
Well, the thing I actually kind of like about it is, like, I actually do enjoy the name in and of itself as Wallace.
Yeah.
Because now it just gives me, like, because I hear the name, and I keep thinking of the guy from Pulp Fiction, Marcellus Wallace.
No, that is not what he looks like. That is too awesome. He's a crappy advisor.
Yeah, but
I mostly just did that to make that tribal advisor deck.
Oh, yeah.
But if this was what Mr. Wallace looked like, we could then actually make a Samuel L. Jackson.
This is what he looked like.
Oh, this is a picture of him in the middle of the street with.
I don't even know.
This is how I envision the Wallace. Maybe that's the white side, and then Samuel L. Jackson is the black side.
Yeah. Oh my god. That's so perfect.
Stupid piece of shit. Why must you?
It's a very large image. It's not helping.
Why is this? Oh, that's his name, Wallace Shawn?
Vizzini's name is Wallace Shawn.
I never knew his name.
Yeah.
Like, I only learned it because some dude had said it and is like, yeah, he's that guy whose name you never know.
Yeah. The guy, you know, one of the guys from that movie.
Yeah, he was the Nagus on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deep Space Nine. I just think of Princess Bride.
Yeah, well, that's what you should think of.
I haven't gotten to DS9 yet. I'm still finishing Next Generation.
Next Generation is really boring.
Yeah, I had to skip at least half the episodes to actually, like, watch it as, like...
Especially, the original... Like, the early ones where they just rip off original series episodes and Riker doesn't have a damn beard.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to see... Nobody wants to see unbearded Riker.
I never knew he had a beard, so I was okay with those. Like, I was new to the whole thing, and I watched it.
That's because you're, 12, man.
Yeah, so...
A little bit. Yeah, Deep Space Nine has just kept my attention way more, and it's got pretty, like a religious, you know, controversial.
It got really stupid though in parts there too.
Oh yeah, you gotta skip some of them. I mean, the writers, they outsource the writers, so.
They did a good job with Worf though in Deep Space Nine as opposed to the Next Generation.
Yeah, I agree.
Mostly cause fucking Alexander wasn't there most of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, he's such a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
Alright, so I like this guy a lot. I like that he flips. I like that he's a black-white general.
Yeah.
So I can stop running, actually, I guess Obsidot would be my go-to black-white general right now. Even though Sean was like, why the fuck would you ever pick him? I'm like, cause he's sweet and he goes away.
Oh, was Sean on your guys' episode?
No, he was talking to me. He's like, cause he was listening to the episode and just giving me shit about everything. He's like, why would you pick Obsidot? I'm like, cause it's more fun than Ghost Council, cause it goes away.
Oh, to our episode, okay.
Yeah. Calvin, you got anything to say about the Wallace Shawn here?
No, I actually really have nothing negative to say about it. I like the idea of being able to use my graveyard. What?
I said you could say nice things, that's fine too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the idea of being able to use the exile zone. Because in Magic, that's kind of an area where it's almost impossible to touch now. I mean, there was a time where you could use, wishes to get into the exile zone or, other areas, but, now it's what's the limit for the wishes? Like, the sideboard or something? And they don't even go into the exile?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, Rift Sweeper.
Yeah, so it's, cards that actually affect the exile zone are very, very, very few in this game now. And I actually kind of like the idea of having at least one card where if this card comes down, I can actually be able to use it to kind of go into and reuse these cards that have been exiled or someone exiled my graveyard. I have the option to bring it back or try to kind of still use something from it. And since it's a creature, it's not like it's something that all the colors couldn't do something about. I mean, you can always bounce it, kill it in combat, make it fight, murder it.
See, what's really cool is that if some jackass is playing, Mimeoplasm or something, I guess it might work this way. You kill your own Wallace to exile your own graveyard, and then when you've dealt with Mimeoplasm or whatever, you can just cast White Wallace and use your graveyard anyway.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And the good thing about it is it'd be as long as Wallace was out, right? So this way, even though he's there, you can now use the exile zone, but if your opponents are like, oh, that doesn't seem right, then you kill him. If you kill him, the exile zone goes back to being exiled, and I can't use anything in there until I cast him again.
And you know I will.
So it's a nice way of having a permanent usage of the graveyard, of the exile zone, without it actually being something that people can't answer. All the colors at least have an option of something to do against this to kind of stop it.
Yeah. It seems pretty cool. Okay, we're going to finish strong, which means we're going to make Luis talk about a card.
Oh, man. All right, how many?
Just pick one, sir.
Just keep talking until we're done. All
right.
Yeah, we're all going to go to sleep. You just keep talking.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on a mono-white kick because I'm building my Kemba deck back up again. So I made this this white kitty cat dude, called him Tajnar Razorsmith, and I think he's a little broken, but I like seeing non-planeswalker cards with multiple abilities, so I thought he was cool. Yeah. So He's a white-white, two colorless, and a 0/2. And his first ability is pay two colorless and white-white. Search your library for an equipment, converted mana cost 3 or less, and put it into play. His second ability is basically the same, except it's 4 colorless white-white, and a converted mana cost, what did I say, like 5 or 4? Something like that.
5 or less.
Yeah, 5 or less.
Yeah, 5 or less. Yeah, you guys know my card better than me.
Oh, we just pulled it up.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, converted mana cost. What?
I don't think you can call him too broken, because he seems way more fair than Stone Hero Giant.
Yeah, I like Stone Hero Giant. But the downside for him is that he can't, like, he has to tap for it. Yeah. So I just wanted to do the same thing, but dumping mana.
Veto.
Yeah, but the thing about this, like, I personally think it would be pretty fine as a card in and of itself.
Okay, so Stone Hero, but this one doesn't have to tap. So if you've got a billion white mana,
you can
just do whatever the fuck you want. Get your Sun Forger out there and do your Sun Forger shit.
Yeah, and then
the thing I actually kind of like about it is the fact that the ability to search out the artifacts costs one more than what the artifacts would cost at the most. So it's like even if you
go ahead, I was cutting in for some reason.
Yeah, because it says like converted mana cost of 3, but it takes 4 mana to find it and put it into play. So you're basically paying for the artifact and an additional mana to kind of search it out. Isn't the white tutor that searches artifact one white?
Enlightened tutor?
Enlightened tutor.
Yeah, that's only one white unless you find an artifact, right?
Puts it on top of your library.
Well, this is kind of like a legend. It's kind of like a creature that would allow you to kind of have a miniature enlightened tutor kind of thing going on. You can search out the artifact, but then you still have to kind of pay the mana cost for the artifact to play it.
Yeah, and you still got to pay the equip cost too.
And since it's it's 3 or less, you could be paying more mana for a card if you're looking for. Like, if you're looking for something that's, an equipment with a converted mana cost of 2, you know, you're paying like an extra, like what, 3 mana just to find it?
Something like that.
You're paying an extra 2 mana to find it. Because it's like the 2 for the mana, 2 for the equipment plus the extra 4. Yeah, whatever. It's 2 extra mana.
Yeah, and it gets around counter spells because it just puts it directly into play. And that's a real pain in the butt when your shit gets countered.
Yeah, I would play the shit out of this card.
And it doesn't equip it, so. It seems pretty fair.
And with it also being a 0/2 at 4 mana, it's like you're basically waiting until turn 4 to play something that doesn't really do anything. But then when turn 5 comes around, it can actually, like, find an artifact for you, at least.
Well, I mean, and, you know, you're still paying a good, nice premium, because even, like, a sword to cast in the, I mean, to pull out and then equip is still 7 mana. So, I'm fine. I guess I'm fine with a sword coming out for 7 mana as opposed to
6. Yeah.
6. Oh.
It costs 2 to equip.
I thought it was 3 to equip for some reason. I'm an idiot. I don't play them, so.
I like Piercedale Paladin with that card. That's probably would be my favorite thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think it's overpowered though, because first off, I mean, by the time you're doing all that stuff, there's a lot of broken stuff you can be doing. And then you know, you have to pack your deck with a lot of equipment to make this guy super worth it, you know? I mean, like, even my equipment-heavy decks only will play, like, 10 equipment. So, like, if you're also playing the other tutor cards, and, like, or if you're just running a few equipment and there's not a lot, you know, it could not do that much. I mean, in a Kemba deck, obviously, it's going to be sweet as hell. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I like that card a lot. I hope they print something like that, actually.
It'd be good with Brass Squire.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, Brass Squire.
Brass Squire, actually getting that work in.
Yeah. He's a pretty sweet looking dude. But yeah, I like this card a lot because it seems way more fair than like Stone Forge or Stone Hero Giant.
I do have a question for you, Louise. Why are you hating on the equipments that have a converted mana cost of 5 or of 6 or more? You don't want some big casting cost equipments?
What is way up there? There's like Argentum Armor.
There's, what's that stupid one that gives you, like, plus five, plus zero?
Oh, I'm looking
that's like
it
got the chick with the big ass sword.
Is it like a great
it's from
sword?
Rise.
Ogre Cleaver or something?
Yeah,
like?
Ogre's Cleaver.
Some shit.
Does that cost six to cast?
Let's see. Oh, so. It's five to equip. It's only two to cast.
Yeah.
There's also one. Oh, what was the other one? What's the one where it gives a power to equal the number of creatures you control?
Oh, Pen and Blade.
Yeah.
No, that's not that much.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
The Hedron. The Hedron one from, whatchamacallit?
Something Hedron Matrix? Hedron?
Yeah. Doesn't that cost a lot?
I thought that was an enchantment.
Oh, that's cool. Damn. Never mind. Yeah,
so I looked it up. There's only six equipments higher than, higher than six. Or not six equipments. There's only four. It's our Argentum Armor, Elbrus the Binding Blade.
Yeah.
I can't I don't even want to play this guy if I can't tutor up all this.
Necro Pouncer and Tatsumasa the Dragon Fang, which I've always wanted to play.
Okay. Necro Pouncer is pretty cool, actually. I like that card.
Yeah. 3-1 in haste is pretty good, but 6 is a lot to pay for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted to cast it for free and just be like, yeah. What up? Stoneforge Mystic is totally getting used properly.
I don't know if there's really a proper use for Stoneforge Mystic. Alright, so that card's pretty cool. Do you got a quick one, Luis?
Let me see. I wrote down like 4 cards while I was at work.
Are they all cats?
Oh, no, 2 of them are equipments.
Read one of those.
Would you rather hear Juke Boots or Brittle Ancient Sword?
I'm gonna have to go with Brittle Ancient Sword there.
What was it you said about boots?
Juke Boots.
Juke Boots is an equipment.
Okay.
It's actually really boring too.
Good sword.
Does it just give them the power of Bo Jackson?
Like, you know the enchantment? You know the enchantment Reconnaissance?
Reconnaissance?
It's a 1 white and you could pay 0 and remove a creature you control from combat.
Oh yeah, it's one of like the most broken cards ever.
Yeah, it's basically that. Just Juke Boots like, whoops,
let's do Ancient Brittle Sword then.
Yeah. So I have a corny name because I couldn't think of one. So it's, the numbers are kind of off, but it's like 3 mana to cast, 3 mana to equip. It's a 2, it gives you +2/+2, and whenever equipped creature deals combat damage, sacrifice the sword, and return a creature converted mana cost 3 from your graveyard to the battlefield. So it's like, it's a really nice sword, and as soon as it deals damage, it breaks apart, but some, I don't know, I was thinking like some ancient spirit comes out, and you get a creature back.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was pretty cool.
That'd be nifty in like, something.
So that'd actually be pretty good in a mono red deck. Because then you have a reason to get Tuck-Tuck back.
Damn it, Calvin. Nobody's getting Tuck-Tuck back. if you have a really low curve, and especially if you have a way to bring the stupid sword back.
Yeah, like a Sun Titan.
Yeah, like Sun Titan. And then you just equip it to Sun Titan and keep swinging with it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, you need Leon and Shikari in place so you can just put it on right away.
Yeah.
It's a Sun Titan. It picks a sword up, breaks it. It's a creature. It's like, here, fix this. Put the sword back
together.
Breaks it.
Someone watching him is just like, dude, what's up with Sun Titan? He seems to have anger issues lately.
Seems pretty pissed at this sword.
Yeah.
I think you should have to rip the card in half after it breaks.
Oh no.
So yeah. That sword's, I feel like there's something we could do with the sword. Maybe the fact that somebody brought out this like old relic that they found and they've been carrying it around forever and then the first time they swing with it, it breaks.
That's exactly what I was thinking when I made the card.
You could, like, if that was the case, you kind of like, give the sword like a less of a power pump boost kind of thing. Instead of it being like a +2/+2, but like +1/+0 or something.
Yeah.
That way you kind of like understand why it broke because it was a weak sword.
And then nobody's going to want to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, as it is right now, it's like a weaker sort of light and shadow.
Yeah. Maybe it should be like a...
I don't know, a certain way.
Yeah.
Which maybe it should be like a big power buff, and then it breaks, so you only get to use it once for like
two. Yeah, it's like a legendary sword.
+7, -2.
You said it was like...
I know they're like spikes.
So when a creature deals combat damage, the sword like sacrifices and goes to the graveyard?
Yeah.
You know a card we should have fixed was Razor Boomerang.
there's nothing good about that card.
Isn't Sharking kind of like that too?
I think so.
Doesn't what?
Shuriken? Is that kind of like the same card? No.
What, Shuriken?
Yeah.
Shuriken. I haven't seen that card.
Oh, Razor Boomerang actually bounces back to your hand, too. What a beast.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember, this is when I came back into the game, and it was one of the first cards I saw, and I'm just like, what the fuck is going on here? Why would I ever want to play this thing?
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say, like, and then I put 4 in my deck.
Nah. Nah, no Razor Boomerangs. Nothing. I like the art, because the Minotaur's just like, this isn't even going to hurt. Speaking of Minotaurs, what the hell's up with Boros Reckoner?
Yeah, God, I know. He's so expensive.
I ripped him online, I didn't get him in paper. But online, the price is not jumping up the same way.
No.
But you can summon him with Didgeridoo.
Plus.
Did you see how much card limp rate it is, though?
Yeah, that's kind of weird, too.
Yeah, it's up. Karn Liberated is a part of a modern Tron.
So yeah, that's Tron. Right.
So he's like 35 bucks.
Yeah, yep. Tron's stupid. I traded a foil one for like dog shit.
Yeah, I got all mine for dog shit, so now I put 2 in my trade binder, and I'm kind of like feeling like a pimp. I got
I actually have him in a deck somewhere, I think. I might rip him out and just sell
him. Yeah, that's what I did.
Luis, I still haven't mailed your card, but I will do it.
Oh, that's fine. I'm kind of broke right now.
Children's, you've survived episode 41 of Off Color Cast. This is Chris. If you want to get a hold of me, hit me up on Twitter at Christian Renault or email the show offcolorcast@gmail.com. I have Calvin dictate the emails to me. Cassidy, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of Off Color Cast. That was episode 41. Crazy. I don't even know what 41 is, but it's crazy. You can check out the articles at tcgplayer.com in the magic section. Excuse me. And then you can also tweet me at Right or Wrong. I still don't have a smartphone again, so pretty much got this broken ass brick phone that I threw against the wall earlier, so it's even working less good. So I'm harder to reach. I don't check my Gmail nearly as often, so if anyone's trying to reach me, just don't expect a quick return. That's all. Anyways, thanks for listening.
So Calvin takes 100 years, so we better let Luis say goodbye next. Say goodbye, Luis. Plug something.
Hey, I'm Luis. You can follow me on Twitter at Luis Barba, LUISBARBA, where I post up drawings and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Done.
All right, Calvin, bring us on home.
Okay, everybody, this is Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Redzone on the internet. If you're looking for me, you can always find me on Twitter at Captain Redzone, or you can go to Gmail, CaptainRedzone@gmail.com. Don't forget that Off Color Cast also has a Facebook page and a Facebook group. You can go over there, you can check out new information about the shows. And recently, I've been putting up something on the sidebars of like recent late debates that we've had on the show. So if you want to, you can actually kind of join in. And if your comments are like interesting, we might actually read them off like on a following episode.
They won't be, but
yeah.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if we ever get around to actually coming back to certain topics, we can always have something to fall back on. That's at least we're having some listener feedback.
We need something, because
it's not like we're getting many emails, and we got one email from Randall.
Get an email, but he asked the same question to Commander Cast too.
Cheated.
Can't do that.
Let's see here. You can also go to the actual website to download our show, arkillacast.com, or you can also listen to us on mtgcast.com. Let's see, Loneliness is available for you over at Cuckoo Plus. Let's see, anything else I can think of here? Oh, while you're there, don't forget to check out the sidebar, Beardy Plays. That's our boy Alex. He does live stream it. You can check that out.
I don't think he's been doing anything lately.
Yeah, but still. It's unavailable on the show, on the site. Yeah, so
it's there.
It's there.
All right. Awesome. I think that's all. I heard the Beardy Plays. I heard the Google Plus. I heard the Facebook. Sounds about right. All right.
I'm going to make a checklist.
Damn it, Luis.
You forgot the Goudon's 2112 plug.
Oh, man, I put that in recently. That's good enough.
Oh, okay. We got to keep plugging Judd's article about the 2112 deck forever.